In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. I recall a story or a joke I heard when I was young of a man who was drowning in the ocean, and he cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, please help me, rescue me for my parents' sake, for my friends and relatives' sake, for my wife's sake, for my children's sake." And all of a sudden a hand rescues the man from the ocean, pulls him out and brings him to the seashore. And as he is walking up the shore, his friends came and said to him and said, "Listen, we heard your cry. We understand that you ask God to save you for your parents' sake and your relatives, but your wife and your children, you're not married. You don't have any children." And he said, "Shh, be quiet. I fooled God." Which goes against Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not err. Do not make a mistake. Don't be foolish. God is not mocked. God is not deceived. For anything that a man sows, he reaps. When I speak to some of my brothers and sisters, or some of my brothers in particular, some of my sons, my spiritual sons, and I talk to them about marriage and that you should settle down and think of taking holy matrimony, finding yourself a wife, pray about it and find a wife, take for yourself a partner in life. And I recommend that, they participate and they come to church, there's a social gatherings, to weddings and feasts and parties and what have you. And, there you may find someone and you may be interested and da-da-da-da-da-da. But it really disappoints me and it breaks my heart to hear their reply. "Rabbi, you think those girls who come to church all dressed modestly and, during the Assyrian weddings, they're with their parents and, seated so well-mannered and behaved and, we see them in many of our cultural and traditional gatherings. You think that they are angels come down from heaven? No, Rabbi. You have no idea what we see them get up to in nightclubs, in rave clubs and hookah lounges. So when they come to these special events, don't be deceived, Rabbi." That breaks my heart. It truly does. And I say, oh, what a wicked and perverse generation. Now, my reply to them is, what are you doing in such places? How are you conducting yourself? What is your manner in these places? And their reply is, well, I'm an urza. I'm a man. Giving themselves the justifications, the right to, be engaged on what they look down upon their sisters that are engaged in such manner. Well, again, that goes against the Holy Scriptures. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 28 and 29, we read, "There is neither Jew nor Aramean, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." So if you belong to Christ, then you are descendants of Abraham, and his heirs according to the promise. I'm an Urza. Well, my dear brother, when it comes to sin, and sister, when it comes to sin or holiness, there is no dispensation, there is no allowance, there is no partiality, there is no favoritism with God. Being an Urza, being a man, doesn't give you the right to sin, doesn't open the door on sexual immorality and or laxness in faith. My dear sister, if there is truth, and I believe there is an element of truth in what your brothers are saying, well, who are you trying to mock or fool or deceive? Your parents, your community members, your parish priest, others? You may do so. Yeah, you may fool those people that I just mentioned, but you can certainly not mock or deceive or fool God. You know, what you sow is what you reap. People may, according to Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 to 23, say or call evil good and good evil. People may do that, and that is so evident. Truly, in this wicked world, good is seen as evil, and evil is commanded as good. People may do that. People may put light for darkness and darkness for light, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, according to Isaiah 5:20-23. But the scriptures ascribe and appoint woes to such people. You know what woes are? Why? Remember those words coming from Mum when she would, you know, she'd look at you really, really angry. Why, Eloch? Woe to you. Anguish, grief. So the scriptures are saying, woe to those people who call good evil and evil good. Woe to the world. Don't take heart from and be encouraged by those who applaud you, love or like your posts, your pictures, your posts or comments, those that are attracted to your life or your manner or conduct or posts, again, or comments that are contrary to the precepts of the Holy Scriptures. Don't take heart to those that are conducts that are contrary to the principles and instructions of the church. And I will also go as far as the ethics and manners and etiquette of our Assyrian culture and traditions. Don't take heart. Don't be encouraged. Don't build your life upon those who call your evil good. You see, learning the Assyrian language and the Assyrian history, the Assyrian culture, the Assyrian identity, the folklore, it's non-beneficial to the Assyrian plight or existence if we do not adhere and live by them. The Assyrian etiquette, manners. I want to be a true Assyrian. Yes, learn the language, learn the history, be proud of it. But live it, live the etiquettes, live the manners as well. It's not multiple choice. I'm an Assyrian, but what is not deemed as etiquette and ethics, I will not adhere to, but I want to wrap the Assyrian flag around me. You know, we are in actual fact bringing disrepute rather than respect and value. That's a little hypocritical, right? So reading scripture, posting scripture, attending church, serving in the church, making markings and tattoos of crosses and scripture verses on your body are really non-profitable, beloved, if we do not live the scripture, live the service that we are offering in the church, live the power of the cross that we tattoo or the verses that we post or tattoo on our bodies. James says this in chapter 1, verse 22. St. James writes, be a doer of the word, meaning a living example, and not only a hearer or a promoter. And do not deceive yourself. See, you deceive yourself. You can deceive others as well, but you cannot deceive God. Definitely you cannot deceive God. And most definitely those who are witnesses and are aware of your lifestyle, which is conducted outside of the scriptures, which are conducted not in a manner worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:27. Beloved, we are warned in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord God are in every place. You know, it's not like God only knows what happens at church, at home. No, God knows exactly what's happening, and I'll use these terms, in the brothels, in the prisons, in the nightclubs, in the rave clubs. God knows exactly. The eyes of the Lord God are in every place, gazing on the good and on the evil. So what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Actually, what happens in Vegas and every place will be submitted as evidence at the fearful tribunal of the Lord when he returns to judge the good and the evil. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man, Jesus is speaking here. Listen intently. Pull to one side. Forget about the dishes. Don't worry about the, stirring the pot for cascasta for dolma. Just listen intently. Jesus, our God incarnate, warns, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father, because he is God. The glory meaning the divinity by his nature, praise be to his name, with the holy angels, and then he will repay. He will not ask, what were you doing in that place? There was so much loud music and drugs and alcohol and debauchery. No, no, no. He will repay each man according to his works. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, St. Paul writes, for we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of the Messiah, that each man will be paid in his bodily, in his body, anything that was done by him, whether of good or of evil, meaning deeds, they're important. Don't let people fool you. Those who try to fool me, I know those who don't want to work the good deeds. They just want to give lip service to God. Oh, Jesus, I believe in you. You are my Lord and Savior. And I am saved because I just said, you are my Lord and Savior. Well, Zacchaeus wasn't saved when he said, Lord, before he began to tell Jesus what he was going to do, he said, Lord, Jesus didn't stop him and say, hallelujah, there is salvation in this house. He said, no, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And then Jesus says, today there is life, not salvation, actually, life in this house. What is being spoken in Vegas and at every place will also be presented as evidence for the accountability of he or she who spoke it. Jesus warns again in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 to 37, for I say to you that every idle, empty, meaningless, derogative, rude, filthy, lying, blaspheming, heresitical word that people will speak, they will give an answer for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Oh, justified by words. I thought he was only justified by faith. Well, there's another topic we need to discuss. So hence, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, St. Paul instructs and encourages that your words should always be with grace, as if seasoned with salt, and be aware how it is appropriate for you to answer each man. God cannot be deceived. God cannot be mocked. The praise we utter during church, when we are worshiping and when we are serving, when we are singing, La Chumarat Chulla Maudenan, unto you, Lord of all, we confess. You know, those words of praise that we utter from our mouths, from that same mouth, we utter cussing, insulting words, offensive words from that same mouth. How can that be? How can you be cussing on a Saturday evening? How can you be engaged in filth and sexual immorality? And I don't actually mean actually, you know, involved in it. No, the dance moves, my beloved sisters, the dance moves that are today being portrayed. You're probably saying, oh, how does he know these things? Yeah, you know, I research. I'm an unworthy shepherd. I need to be awake. I need to be alert. I need to know what my brothers and sisters, my members of my flock that have been entrusted into my hands are getting themselves into. Those sexually connotated moves, those cussing words, those lyrics that are cussing and derogative that come out of our mouth, and we're singing along with the artist who knows not Jesus Christ, who defames Jesus Christ, who blasphemes against Jesus Christ, and we know the lyrics back to front, but when we ask you to quote a scripture, it's, I don't know. Who, what, where is Sodom and Gomorrah? Who is Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, are they husband and wife? I've had this. So from the same mouth, beloved, on a Saturday evening, that we utter those disrespectful, filthy mouth words, we come back on a Sunday and we sing, La Chumarat Chulla Maudenan. James chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, God cannot be mocked, praise be to his name. From the mouth proceeds blessings and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be done. Is it possible that from one spring sweet and bitter waters go out? Or can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine figs? So neither can salt water be made sweet. That's why we pray. Aqim Maria Nator al Pom Nator al Sipai. That's in the Aramaic language. Arise a guard, or place a guard on my mouth and on my lips so that I do not utter evil words. What we do, what we are engaged in, involved with on a Saturday evening or any evening, any time of the day, cannot be justified because I am at church on Sunday, participating, serving, singing, worshiping. God cannot be mocked, cannot be deceived. In actual fact, unless I have repented, which we'll speak about next episode, or am a penitent in the process of repentance, I actually need to limit my participation in the partaking of the Holy Qurbana, the Holy Eucharist. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29, for whoever eats and drinks from it, being unworthy, eats and drinks a guilty verdict into his soul, for not distinguishing the body of the Lord, seeing it as a mere bread and mere wine, partaking of it when in mind, immediately after that Sunday service or in the evening of the Sunday service, I'm going to be back to my normal rigmarole, just as a dog who returns back to his vomit. So too is a man who returns to his sins. We sing in the hymn, Etlan Saura, we have hope. We sing. And it's a shame not many people know this because it's in the Aramaic language. Although I've recorded these hymns in the vernacular, the Lishana Chata, the language that we use. And they're on iTunes, I believe, qinata.com. Yeah. If you message us, we can direct you to the page. We sing, whoso is intoxicated by this wine, the flame of fire will be refreshing to him. Meaning, the state that this person will be who is intoxicated, who takes it unworthily, the state that the person will end up, he or she will be asking for fire. Please throw me in fire, because that, I believe, will be more refreshing than the state that I am in today, right? The Holy Church Fathers. Beloved, if we are living in abomination, if we are living in filth, heterosexually, homosexually, or both, I strongly recommend, for your own spiritual well-being, I strongly recommend that you do not approach the holy mysteries, but rather your spiritual counselor. He will prescribe to you the proper and befitting penance, the spiritual medication, which we'll speak about next week. Let's not be like Adam and blame God and Eve. The woman you gave me, God. How dare he? He's quite a daring person. The woman you gave me, she made me do it. She made me break your commandment and be disobedient to you. That was a poor excuse. We too, let's not entirely blame the government, laws and legislations. Let's not use the most ridiculous excuse and justification of blaming nature. I was born that way, creation, and certainly not the creator. Let's take note of the three fingers that point back to me when I point the one finger. Let's not be Yosemite Sam when facing the devil in one of the cartoon episodes says, "The devil made me do it. I mean, the rabbit made me do it." Let's not blame others. Let's take ownership and be spiritual man and women. In place of excuses and uncredible justifications, let us cry out and say, do this with me now, beloved. Do it with me every time. Say this with every breath you take. Lord Jesus, the Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Deliver me from the evil one and his hosts, and bring me to repentance. Why? Because God cannot be mocked. God cannot be fooled. God cannot be deceived. Praise and glory be to his holy name, now and at all times and forever.